If you're trying to find competitive excellence, Ryan Day has a path for you in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. That is Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. Practice number two of spring for Ohio State underway. And we saw four open viewing periods, plus a little bonus. And the main takeaway, again, stop me if you've heard this before, Bill. If you go 4-6, A to B, plus two, you can get to the level you want to be at.
It's the motto I live my life by.
Yeah.
It's served me well to this point. So shout out to Ryan Day for letting everybody know.
How long have you been living by that motto?
A couple hours.
Couple hours. All right, good. Well, that was the message. Bert?
I think it's interesting because Ryan Day has tried in so many ways to stamp this program as his own in the last few years. But, like, there are some staples. There are some hits from the Urban Meyer era that, like, don't need to go away. And that's one of them because it is accurate. I mean, it is generally the foundation for success in an athletic endeavor. Like, are you willing to go a little bit further than the guy across from you? And I'm glad that Ryan Day's holding on to that. I'm also glad that they're bringing back some juice to the building. Like, the music today was pumping. Like, there was some, some DMX playing. Like, I was like, okay, we're getting going here. And you can see guys are having a good time. Like, some of that maybe because they know today's another acclimation period and spring break starts tomorrow. And maybe today's
turn up the music.
Maybe today's not going to be quite as aggressive as it'll be when they return from spring break. But I think you see a team that's really confident and loose and enjoying the chance to actually do football stuff.
I thought about that on Tuesday. I thought it was the loudest that I'd ever heard the speakers in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, and it set us up nicely, I think, for a juicy Snap Judgments brought to you by Byers Auto. I don't know if today has quite as much to learn from day one, but I know that Bill took something away.
It was a lot. I mean, it was basically the same script we saw on Tuesday, right? Individual drill, a little bit of routes on air, and then they give us the boot as soon as the good stuff starts with 7-on-7. So, like, yeah, the surprise or – I don't know, of like seeing Sonny Styles at linebacker on Tuesday, that doesn't quite carry over to Thursday. There was some stuff. I was just trying to like watch some guys maybe that I didn't spend time watching so much on Tuesday. One of them was Seth McLaughlin, actually.
An offensive lineman,
yeah.
Can you believe that?
They were doing much of the same stuff they were doing on Tuesday, which is a lot of practicing like combo blocks and like overtaking and stuff like that. But Seth moves pretty well. Like, and I guess that's not surprising, right? If you're the starting center at Alabama, there's probably a baseline level of athleticism that you have to have. But, you know, we haven't really seen him up close and personal until this week on the football field. And I was kind of surprised with kind of, like, you know, his explosion, his bend. I thought, like, the two interior linemen anyway that I thought, like, kind of moved the best in a way that I took notice were him and Luke Montgomery, which is another guy I wanted to watch a little more closely today. Still at guard for Luke. When they got into the five-man look, Enoch Vamahi seemed to be first at right guard. I'm not really putting any stock into that other than them mixing some stuff up. When they did the formation stuff at the very beginning of practice, Donovan Jackson was like with the twos. So they're doing the stuff they did last year where they're mixing and matching. So I don't think that means much of anything at this point. But Ryan Day talked about Luke Montgomery's athleticism on Tuesday after the practice, and I thought I picked up on a little bit of that today.
Yeah, some of that experimentation that you expect to see in spring began already in practice number two. The tackles stayed the same, though, with that one unit down there.
With the ones, yeah. With the twos, George Fitzpatrick actually was first up at left tackle instead of Zemohofsky today. Again, they're just like lining up and standing across from each other. They're not doing much of anything, but it is 11 staring at 11, which is more than we typically get to
see. Yeah, it's not 11 versus 11. It is 11 and 11.
Yeah, it's hard to tell how informative that is. That's why generally in these early spring practices, I'm watching just like how people move. One guy that stood out to me today was James Peoples. Like I know that he's not going to get a lot of run probably this year because he's fourth on the depth chart at running back behind three pretty experienced players. There's just the J.K. Dobbins comparisons for James coming into camp are very, very high. Like, he's from South Texas. He's a very stout kid, really, like, the nicest kid you'll ever meet. But he moves aggressively. Like, he's out there catching the ball well. He has a very just abruptness to him that I think is really important for the Ohio State running game because that's what you need is a guy who can get from point A to point B quickly and different ways. Like, I don't know, 4 to 6 seconds?
4 to 6 seconds plus two.
He made
a crazy catch on the sidelines. Did you see that? Like when you were running real routes?
He's catching my eye. Like the way he moves, his lateral quickness is like, it's different than, it's on the Travion Henderson level of lateral quickness, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he has the burst to, once you get going straight line, to go as fast as Trey, but that short space quickness is really elite for James. And The other guy for me that I was watching again, just I've said it on Tuesday, I'm just really enamored with Harvell Reese.
It's hard not to be.
He just looks like a scary type of Big Ten athlete, and I hope they find a way to get him in there. But today I was also watching wide receivers again. I just like the demeanor that Carnell Tate has about him right now. Like, he is extremely calm and veteran for a young guy that is being put into a position this year where, like, he's probably going to be the number one receiver on this team catch-wise.
I don't know about that.
I think that there's going to be a pretty close battle between him and Emeka Ebuka. And I think that just a kid that's only a true sophomore has a very veteran presence about him. And maybe that's because the rest of the wide receiver room is so raw and hasn't played at all, and he has no choice but to be. But I think for a kid that came into college a year ago with people questioning his emotional maturity, like, maybe it's because life happened to him in a way that forced him to grow up quickly in the last year, but he just seems to have a different vibe about him.
If the state of Ohio is not going to let us have individual player prop bets anymore, can we just make one between ourselves right now that Emeka is going to have more catches than Carnell Tate?
I mean, we can make it. I'm not going to participate. No. If you want to do it on yourself and pay yourself.
I wanted to do it against you because you just said Carnell Tate was
going to. I think it's going to be close. I think Carnell Tate's talent is a different level than Emeka Ebuka as a wide receiver.
Okay. I did what I said I was going to do, and I watched the tight ends. And Will Kaczmarek is a lot more agile and maybe even faster. I hesitate to say that sometimes about a tight end, but he moved really well. Just watching him run routes and do some stuff after the catch, it's like he's not just a big body. I thought that was pretty impressive to see from him. I don't know why that was why I thought it would be like just like a you're that big, you're just going to be a plodding dude. He's not that.
He's explosive. Yeah. He gets in and out of stuff quickly, like similar to what you were talking about with James Peoples.
Guys like Will, I think, are interesting because obviously there's that talent jump that you need to make coming from the MAC to the Big Ten. But if you compare him to Cade Stover, for example, like Cade Stover had his body beat up for 5 years in the Big Ten. So every time you saw Cade move in the last year, it was like
labored. Yeah.
And Will Kaczmarek was playing in the MAC where he's one of the bigger guys on the field and probably not getting the physical crap kicked out of him every day like Cade Stover is. So I think you see him and you're like, oh, he's fresh. So like, let's see how that works in October. But yeah, Ohio State had him circled as the best tight end in the transfer portal for a reason. So that is obvious. And I like the fact that he's just out there leading the tight end group in a room that, even though it has not a lot of experience as far as catches and that sort of stuff, like there's all these guys have been here, except there's no freshman in that group. So he's coming in and being the leader, which is important.
There's physical development to be sure. I mean, you look at G. Scott with the amount of winners he's got under his belt. You see Jelani Thurman taking a little bit of the next step physically, and Bennett Christian is a massive, massive human being. Yeah. I think that's why I was like watching bigger guys in the past, like, I don't know, Bennett Christian a year ago or Sam Hart before that. It's like, well, then they probably aren't going to be able to help a lot in the passing game. That's not the impression I have for Will Kaczmarek. And the other part, Bill and I had talked about the defensive tackles. And I'm going to try to not do as much as I did in October and November, but I'm going to fail miserably. Caden McDonald is going to be really special. Just watching him without pads, again, I know there's a limit to how much you can take from that. The violence that he has in his hands, the way that he, moves and finishes drills is different. I think he's going to be a problem.
Yeah, you look at the group, and, like, they're all impressive, right? They wouldn't be here if they weren't, but you take that and then think to yourself, like, who stands out beyond that just sort of physically? And I think sort of like Caden McDonald and Kenyatta Jackson, I think, are probably the two. I took notice of Caden as well. I thought, like, Hero Kanu looks explosive to me, like maybe a little slimmer. I think he's listed at like 305 maybe. He looks like he's put in a lot of good work this offseason, moving really well. Jason Moore is looking more like a defensive tackle than a defensive end these days, which I think is good. For Ohio State. And then the other guy in that room, we talk about looking different, Josh Mickens is like, he looks like a safety still. Like, I get it. Like, he's super long and he definitely moves well. He's quick. I'm just like, I'm watching them go through the drills with the defensive lineman and thinking to myself, like, okay, how does a guy who's built this way kind of fit in with this group? And they're not doing like any of the hybrid jack stuff watching, and who knows if they'll actually do it this year. But he seems to have the prototypical build for that if they ever want to get into it. Otherwise, like, it's a little hard for me to wrap my mind around how a guy who looks like he's like 240 pounds might play on the defensive line of the Big Ten.
I'm obviously the recruiting guy. I mean, you guys are familiar with Gwinnett County in Georgia and mm-hmm. the talent that comes from Gwinnett County. Caden McDonald was the player of the year in Gwinnett County.
Oh, really? Is that good?
Like, coming out of high school. And Georgia didn't take him because he's 6'2" instead of 6'5", which, whatever. I mean, you have the right to pick who you want. Yeah. There's 7,000 D1 players in Georgia. You can pick whichever ones you want. But Ohio State fans should be pretty grateful that he's here because that kid is different. And we saw him in the Cotton Bowl playing fullback. Like, I bet there's still going to be some of that for him this year, too. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity to see him get some reps. Josh Mickens, like, that is a linebacker. I don't understand what the plan is for him, because if you have Mitchell Melton with the defensive ends, and we all know Mitchell Melton is much more like aligned with the jack position. That's where Ohio State constantly says they see him, but they don't use it.
Yeah.
So when he gets out there and he plays defensive end, though, like, you see the quickness, you see the
length. He looks like a defensive end.
Yeah, he's 6'5" and 260 pounds, so you can see it. But Josh Mickens is like 6'2½, 240. He's Jonathan Cooper size.
240 might be generous, too.
And that's fine. Jonathan Cooper's a good NFL player. Like, but Jonathan Cooper would not be a defensive end in this current iteration of Ohio State football. And I'm not sure that Josh Mickens is either.
I thought it was interesting to track the twos when they went out there for the defensive line. Like, again, it was 11 standing against 11 not playing. But if Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Currier are out there, that's a pretty good signal to me. That's going to be the twos. And in between there, you had Hero Canoe and Caden McDonald. So that's a nice little group of eight that Ohio State can build around. Like, Ty Hamilton seemed through the individual period to be like a little bit limited. He's got a ton of reps under his belt. He doesn't necessarily need them, but you look at that group and the depth and, I don't know, athleticism that exists there. This is the best that it's been probably for Larry Johnson's group in 7 years, 2017. Yeah. It's an really impressive group. That's just impossible to ignore when you watch them for 5 seconds.
I like we don't know if that's going to be like the top four, but I feel like Hero Canoe and Caden McDonald are like, you just kind of like copy and pasted Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton, which I kind of like that idea. The strength of Ty and Hero, the quickness at that size of Tyleek and Caden McDonald. Yeah, I can get behind that group.
Did anything stand out about the quarterbacks on day two?
I thought Aaron Olin threw the ball pretty well in the little bit that we saw. I don't know if it must just be because he's left-handed, but like, you notice it more because it's just like, oh, that ball came out on the wrong side. But I thought he was like accurate, and like, I still don't 100% know what like a catchable ball means, but he seems to throw one. Like, it just kind of like lands very softly in the receiver's hands. So I took notice of that.
Other people would say his arm strength is lacking.
His arm strength is what?
Lacking.
Yeah, like, maybe, like, compared, like, I think it's the one thing that is very clear, like, everyone in the group is that, like, Devin Brown has the strongest arm.
Yeah.
It's, like, not even close. What does that get you? I don't know.
No, I mean, but, like, it's not a knock. I'm just saying, like, if you look at him, if you watch him through high school, like, it is a guy who puts the ball where it needs to be. His accuracy was his thing. And you get out here and then you stack him up against even Lincoln Kienholz. Like, you go, okay.
Comes out a little.
His arm, of the five, he's got.
Feathery.
Feathery, yeah, but
it's a plus. I mean, it's not a negative at all.
No, but I think and he makes up for it with accuracy. Yeah. So I thought, and he was like, when we were here on Tuesday, I thought it was odd that the four of Will Howard, Devin Brown, Lincoln Kienholz, and Julian Sangham were like doing stuff with the receivers, and then Air was with the running backs for some reason. They all five were together today doing stuff with the receivers. So I don't,
because we all talked about it
probably.
I thought Will Howard looked more confident today, more comfortable today. I thought Aaron Olin did as well. The other guys. You know, Julian Sayan, I think, is smaller than you expect if you get out here. Like, he does
look small among that group.
He's a little shorter than maybe the 6'2 that he's been listed on his profiles. It's probably closer to 6'1. And so he looks smallish compared, but he throws a really good ball as well. And I think it was funny to me today is like, we get out here and the first thing you see Ryan Day is working with quarterbacks. Like, he's got all five of them around him going, like, okay, so he's totally backing out of the quarterback room.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. Especially with the loss of Todd Fitch that we've talked about, like, I don't even know right now how he could not be involved with the quarterbacks, especially throughout spring practice. I mean, that's his attention's got to be there. And comparing, you know, day two to day one, Devin Brown did more of the same. I mean, he's throwing it with velocity. It was accurate. It was better than we've seen from him in previous open windows. And Will Howard compared to himself from Tuesday, I thought, I agree with you, Burnham. He looked a lot more confident. The accuracy and consistency was better. Again, like super small sample size, not going to read anything into it for what the next 13 practices look like for Ohio State, but better from day one to day two for him. And Devin Brown maintained what he did. And that's what you want to see. If you have two legitimate options plus whatever development you continue to see from Lincoln Kienholz, that's good for Ohio State.
I believe that's called stacking days.
Stacking days?
Yeah.
Hmm. DJ stacking days.
Just keep stacking.
Okay.
One foot in front of the other.
That's wow.
Anybody else that was like, ooh, today? Eye popping?
Caleb Downs.
Did I mention Caden McDonald?
Yeah. There were, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. There were like, I think, seven guys at punt returner.
Yeah.
Still no Caleb Downs. Travion Henderson was there, but I think that's just because he was looking for something to do.
And Jeremiah Smith
during
was back
a pump
there.
Period. Jeremiah Smith was back there, was the one that like I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I continued to be interested in Lorenzo Styles.
Yeah,
like,
I think
I took your idea from yesterday or from this morning's show about Lorenzo Styles, and I've taken it and flipped it, and now I think that needs to be Bryson Rogers.
Okay.
Mm.
He got
tune in next week to see who Burnham thinks should return punts.
I mean, because it's not going to be Caleb Downs. I think it should be Caleb Downs, but it's clearly probably not going to be. So I think Bryson Rogers is the type of guy you want back there.
During that punt drill, which again, just love a good special teams period when we get in there, Lorenzo Styles was out there pretty much leading the line. And then the guy who caught my eye, moving physically and impressively, they're rolling a little ball at him. And Brandon Ennis is like, watch this crazy move that I'm going to do around this. I'm going to get super close to it and then spin away from it. And I was like, I'd really like to see that guy play a little bit more in the slot this year at wide receiver. Not, maybe return a punt. Probably not, based on my own philosophy, not to waste your best offensive and defensive talent. If that's not probably the word for it. Risk your best offensive or defensive talent. Yep. But, man, Winter seems to have done something for Brandon Ennis as well.
Did you see when they were doing that, when Jaden Ballard? Like the hurdled it.
Jumped over it, yeah.
Like, I'm like, holy moly, dude. Like, you see that sort of thing. He hurdled, and I think he was like 5.5 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh boy, that is different.
He does crazy things athletically.
He's a freak.
It's, if he puts it together as a complete wide receiver, and I know that some people push against that, like, find a way to use him. But we know Brian Hartline's philosophy about that, and I don't think he's ever going to change it. But you, Jaden Ballard does things during open practice periods that nobody else can do.
Yeah, no, you definitely you notice them for sure. Like when they did the formation stuff early on, like the top three receivers with the ones were Emeka Buka, Carnell Tate, and Jaden Ballard. So like he'll get an opportunity to show that he can translate the freaky athleticism we see during individual period to team settings, and maybe that's more for down the road in spring. But it feels like every time we watch him, it's like he's right there. But what's going to get him over the line to be a little more productive?
I don't know.
It's got to go like plus two. Plus two. It seems like that would be the next step.
That'll get him past the line, in fact, which is where you need to be.
Two paces past.
Plus two. Two in the bank, and the next two practices for Ohio State won't come until after spring break. So there won't be any snap judgments from the Woody Hayes Athletic Center next week. Once practice is actually complete, the Jim Knowles and a handful of veteran defensive players will talk. We'll break down those comments on the podcast daily for a Freaky Friday episode. But that's going to do it for now from practice number two. Snap judgments are brought to you by Byers Auto. That is Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you later.